Right, feminists hate men. That's what the leader of Britain's Justice for Men and Boys Party thinks. Mike Buchanan says he's had enough of whiny feminists insulting the men. And if anything, it's men who are the victims of sexism. It's interesting, this. What do you think? Are men the real disadvantage to gender? Has the pendulum swung too much now towards women? Well, the feminist commentator Kate Smith-Waite, I doubt she'll support that view. Morning to you, Kate.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
And Mike Buchanan, who said these things, with us now. Morning to you, Mike.
Yes, good morning, Stephen.
You stand over this, then? Whiny feminists insulting men.
Well, yes, if you look at the whole Sun issue, you know, feminists talk about objectification. And when you actually look at what they mean, it's feminists object to men finding attractive women attractive. I mean, are girls and women so feeble-minded as to be seriously affected by a pair of breasts? I mean, give me strength. I've never bought the Sun, but I understand it's got pictures of topless men. And so what? I mean, really, you know, feminists just need to grow up.
Kit?
Well, in which case, Mike has obviously not actually looked at the campaign that's taken place around No More Page 3. If you look at the petition, which is the sort of bedrock of the whole campaign, what it very clearly says is that, no, nobody is offended by breasts or shocked and disgusted by the idea of a nipple. What the campaign is about is saying that a topless woman is not news, and that this should be a newspaper, and that what the problem is not that anybody has seen a nipple and keeled over and gone, this is the end of the world, I can't cope with this. The issue is that we have a newspaper where page one is George Osborne issues the budget, page two is update on, you know, what the Minister for Defence says is happening in Iraq and Afghanistan, and then page three is a woman displayed with her breasts out. And the message that sends about the roles that men and women have in society is damaging. And we know that lots of very young women around the country feel very intimidated by that and feel very uncomfortable about it. We're not saying you're never allowed to look at a pair of breasts or find them interesting. We're saying there's a time and a place for that, and it isn't in something that calls itself a family newspaper. Obviously it's been a very, very popular campaign, 217,000 signatures on the petition, and not only a popular campaign, but, you know, I'm really delighted to say, as of essentially yesterday, a successful one.
Mike?
It's just puritanical censorship. At the end of the day, feminists...
No, but I've just explained...
Let's let him finish.
It is at the end of the day. I mean, you know, it's not going to stop here, is it? It'll go on and on and on. Because at the end of the day...
Yes, of course, we're campaigning for equality and we'll keep going on.
I'll let you speak. At the end of the day, feminists object to men getting pleasure from anything in life.
That's just not true.
Here we have this wonderful campaign that is basically stopping a construction worker today in Belfast from seeing a beautiful woman on page three. So what can I say, Kate? Well done.
Well, and isn't this interesting that when you say a construction worker, Mike, you're obviously talking about a man, but in fact, I want to live in a world where women can also be construction workers if they want, where we have equality. And, you know, and it is absolutely ridiculous that I've explained over and over again, nobody at the No More Page 3 campaign has ever asked for censorship.
Do you acknowledge that?
What about lesbian construction workers? I'm sure they enjoy it.
Really? Do you know hundreds who've been demanding that page three be kept up? I mean, if your argument here, Mike, is that you're here campaigning for lesbians to be allowed to look at page three, then, I'm just going to sit and laugh because...
No, I'm making the point, Kate. I'm making the point that construction workers are overwhelmingly men because women don't go into lines of work.
And why not? Is part of the reason for that because they're intimidated by the culture that exists around those jobs? Well, we know that that is the case.
Oh, rubbish. Rubbish. Women do not go in for jobs like that, which are dangerous. 96% of fatalities in the workplace are of men because women will not go into dangerous lines of work, especially when they're poorly paid. And here you are.
And women are often not allowed to go into those lines of work. It is literally a few weeks since women were allowed to fight on the front lines with British...
Oh, yes, because most women want to fight on the front line.
Women have been campaigning to have that freedom. And personally, I think that nobody should be forced to fight on the front lines. I think that conducting war in this way is outdated and we should do international diplomacy.
Can I move this into slightly other territory? Because it's the other issue that you brought up, Mike Buchanan, where you said, if anything, it's men who are the victims of sexism. And there is a... There is a thrust now, Kate, over recent months, isn't there? That, you know, people starting to look, and rightly so, many people would say, as to how many men there are in the boardroom, how many women there are in senior posts throughout companies. And it's right that that scrutiny happens. But don't you think, Kate, that the pendulum has swung so much the other way now that if you're older and you're female, then it's going to be the older male who is made redundant, who is pushed out by companies, who are now these days frightened to touch an older female because it's not politically correct to do so anymore?
Well, I'm not quite sure what you mean by this notion that the pendulum has swung too far the other way. I mean,
what I mean is, if you're looking... Well, let me just... Sorry to interrupt again. I'll spell it out. Here's what I mean. If you've got a 55-year-old man and a 55-year-old woman in the same job, OK, do you really think that in this day and age an employer is going to say, right, well, look, you know, it's 50-50 who we'll get rid of if we need to get rid of one? They're going to get rid of the man because it's not politically correct anymore to get rid of the female.
In actual fact, the research suggests that that's not what happens, that in fact older women are being pushed out of the workplace, denied promotions.
Is there not a fear?
Let's just look at the basic numbers. You know, what percentage of senior politicians are women? Very, very few. What percentage of people in senior business roles are women? Very, very few. You know, it doesn't matter where we go, judges, lawyers, anywhere we go.
She's got a point, Mike. She's got a point.
Simply show that we are miles and miles away from equality. So to suggest the pendulum's gone too far, it will have gone too far when we go past halfway.
Let's let Mike reply to this. Go on, Mike.
It's perfectly well understood why there are far more men than women at the, you know, at the top of politics and business.
We've got to let him finish a sentence.
Yeah. Dr. Catherine Hackim, in the year 2000, published a thing. She's a world-renowned sociologist.
Let's let him finish a statement.
Catherine Hackim produced a theory called preference theory, and her research showed that in the UK, four out of seven British men were work-centred and only one in seven British women. So that would lead you to expect 80-20 split in boardrooms and politics and so on. And if anything, on that basis, women are overrepresented in boardrooms.
We're not 26% of the cabinet, and we're not 26% of the FTSE 100 management board.
Because on the grounds of merit, there are not the number of women of merit who are willing to work that hard.
Now hold up. That is an incredibly offensive statement.
I've just explained to you about preference theory.
You haven't explained anything, Mike.
Four times as many men are work-centred as women.
That isn't even the statistic that you quoted. You said four to seven. So your already we've established that you're not smart enough
How can any research study establish that men are more work-centred than women?
Can I say something, Stephen?
Yes.
Here's an interesting point, is that I know some women who have decided at various points they're going to, you know, put their career on the back foot and focus on other issues in their life. And guess what? In almost every case that I know, what has happened is that they've looked at their job and the way that they're not being taken seriously at work, and they've looked at the way that around them men are getting promoted and women aren't, and they've gone, well, if I'm not going to get taken seriously, I should focus on other things. So I think when we see women who aren't focused on their careers, before we start drawing conclusions, we should ask, why aren't they focused on? I think the answer, actually, in a lot of cases, is because they're not being taken seriously. There is only so long people fight an uphill battle.
Rubbish. Women have options that men don't have, because men don't have women who are prepared to finance them to stay at home with kids. Women do have that option.
Of course they do.
And they take it.
Of course they do. I know some stay-at-home men whose wives are out working.
Don't be ridiculous.
Of course there are some, but in the majority of cases...
My partner essentially does exactly that with me, so...
Well, whoop-de-doo, Kate, we're not...
You're hallucinating or something, Mike.
Kate, we're not talking about you. This is not about you. This is about men as a class
and women
as a class.
And so I just suggested that I was one. So I'm just pointing out that your argument that there aren't any is a lie, because you're talking to one...
Stop one second, you two. Stop one second. Can I ask you of an example, for example? Let's take a... Because it's my line of work. So, and I'm not talking about Radio Ulster here. So let's take a hypothetical radio station, Kate, right? Mm-hmm. And let's say that on the daytime schedule, mm-hmm. every presenter was a man. All right. and let's say one of the men was leaving, should that BBC radio station proactively go out trying to find a woman, or should they look at the talent base and take the very best person that's there at the time, and if it's another man, so be it? Which should they do?
Well, I think that, I mean, first of all, we should look at why is the station already stacked with men? Is it really the case that over the years, all the best people have walked through the door are men every single time? Personally, I think that's quite unlikely. So I think that if we find a station where everybody working in a senior role is male, to me, that's fairly clear evidence that somebody in the system isn't being fair to women and isn't giving them a chance. So if we accept that in order for that situation to take place, it is pretty likely that that has happened, then I think there's every reason for people to try to redress that problem and to try to reverse that situation. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, you are an outward-facing, as it were, organisation, you know, in the sense that you are leading the way and setting an example for the rest of Northern Ireland. You are somebody that people look up to, what's going on. You influence the culture of Northern Ireland. And do we want to have a culture in Northern Ireland where men are taken seriously?
Yeah, but I just wonder if
the
there
is no,
I do just wonder, and I don't know. I don't know the answer to this. I honestly don't. But I wonder about the danger of an employer going out and positively discriminating, be it towards men or women, when they're trying to balance the books, Kate.
You're right, Stephen. That would be a problem if there weren't any women in Northern Ireland who were capable of doing a great job on the radio. You're right. If there were only men who could do the job and somebody went out and deliberately tried to hire a woman to fill that role, of course, you'd hire somebody who wasn't going to do a great job. It would be a problem, et cetera, et cetera. Men would rightly feel like, wow, I'm being passed over and the job's being given to somebody who's not up to it. But I think anybody who thinks that there aren't a selection of women in Northern Ireland who are perfectly capable of doing a marvellous job of presenting a radio show, I think they're living in the dark ages. Anyway, that's a complete nonsense.
You indulge me. You don't have to talk about radio, but you indulge me for a moment or two. What's your view on that, Mike?
I think in every field that I know of, Stephen, whenever initiatives are taken to drive up the proportion of women, it always leads to mediocrity. And it's even true in top businesses. And we know from studies that we have on our campaign for merit in business, that's when the proportion of women on corporate boards is artificially increased, corporate financial performance declines. It's black and white.
That's been demonstrated to be because of the glass waterfall. I mean, there's a specific explanation for
what?
That. Oh, well, let me explain.
Glass waterfall. Oh, give me strength. That's a new one. What's that all about, Kate?
I mean, I find your attitude very unpleasant, Mike.
Well, I'm sorry. I really don't care if you. I really couldn't care less. But the glass waterfall.
Can we stop this nonsense, you two? Get out of the playground. What is the glass waterfall, Kit?
The glass waterfall is a situation that has been very well documented and very well shown, which is that when a company is in trouble and it's facing difficult times, the men who've been enjoying the benefits and the big bonuses or whatever of being on the board will step down, and then they'll give those jobs to women. And so women are finally promoted only at the point where the company is facing very dark and difficult financial situations. So, yes, we do have a situation where women are put on the board at the moment where there isn't much hope for the company and negatives are going to happen. And yes, that's the term that we use for it. It's been pretty thoroughly documented. You only need to sort of look that up or Google it. It's been,
It's normally called the glass cliff, Kate. And it's just another.
Feminist campaigner, and you're telling me what language is correct.
Right, here's John in Belfast.
In itself is quite patronising.
No, morning, John.
Morning, Kate. It is not really referring.
Good morning, Stephen.
Save me from these two. Save me, John.
Listen, I'll tell you, Kate's in a different world, but never mind. Listen, I'd like to ask Kate. We had a debate not that long ago about the rights and wrongs of women breastfeeding in public. And there was a big hullabaloo for the feminists that it should be right, which I agree with, by the way. But what's the worst in their eyes? Somebody in a restaurant, a family restaurant, or a family cinema, or whatever, breastfeeding a child, or a bit of newspaper cutting. To me, it's like, what's the most lethal? A paper gun or an AK-47? You know, I just don't know where she's coming from.
Go ahead, Kate.
I don't even understand the question. Which is worse, a gun or a woman breastfeeding in a restaurant? Well, obviously a gun.
No, Kate, you need to listen to your ears, darling, and not your mouth. What I'm saying is...
I'm not going to be called darling live on air. You take that caller off, Stephen, or I hang up.
I don't think. No, hold on a moment. I don't think she should be patronised. That's fair enough. You know, there's no need to call her darling, and there's no need to do that. That's fair enough. Let me bring in Simon. Morning, Simon.
Good morning, Stephen. I think the talk this morning started off about page 3.
Yes.
And I'm not convinced that every male reader of The Sun buys that paper to ogle at page 3.
No, well, we know they don't because, of course, they've continued to buy it without page 3. And, in fact, you know, in the Republic of Ireland, where the bare breasts have been gone for quite a while now, it hasn't had any significant impact on sales.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Simon, thank you very much. Kate, nice to talk to you, as always. Mike Buchanan, thank you.